The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome to this free episode of Hollinger and Duncan. This is a fun concept leading up to the trade deadline, which reminds me of another fun concept on the Dunked On Prime podcast, which is the mock trade deadline. We're getting ready for that. We've picked our teams. We've begun our scouting and preparation, and we're excited to record that. If you want to listen to that in its entirety, ad-free, and get all the other Dunked On Prime podcasts, this is a great time to subscribe because we're running a special mock trade deadline sale. You can subscribe at dunkedon.supportingcast.fm. That's dunkedon.supportingcast.fm.
John, the trade deadline is less than 2 weeks away now, and I thought we could try a little bit different of an approach here. We already talked about a month ago about the players that we think are most likely to be traded, but we wanted to take a look at which teams are most likely to do something and which teams are really going to be kind of in control of this deadline. So what we're going to do is just a little draft here. We're going to draft the teams that we think are most likely to make a significant move. How are we defining a significant move?
Certainly something that involved a first-round pick or something that involves a top eight rotation player in a playoff series, let's say.
Yeah, or a young player that we might view as having kind of first-round value.
Absolutely.
Which is, the example I always think of with that is the Aaron Gordon trade, where they traded a future first and RJ Hampton, where that's kind of like right on the borderline, right? He'd just been drafted, I think, either like 23rd or 25th.
He'd been drafted a year and 5 months earlier, I think. Something like that.
No, that was during his rookie year that he got drafted.
Oh, it was during his rookie year. You're right. My timing's off with him because they didn't pick up his option. So I had in my head he's a free agent. Anyway.
Yeah, but that's kind of a right on the borderline. Okay, the guy got drafted in the first round this year, hadn't shown a ton, but was young. That's sort of the borderline if we're ever going to go back and score this, that's the best we'll do. So I will give you, let's do it the way we usually do our drafts, which is one of us can get first pick, the second person gets picks 2 and 3, and then we just alternate from there. It's not the pure snake draft where you get 2 in a row. It's just the getting the number one pick is then counterbalanced by getting 2 and 3, and then you just alternate from there. So
yes, which is important because people will be grading this draft for years.
Yeah, really.
This is very meta of us to do a draft about the trade deadline.
All right, so I'll give you, do you want the first pick or you want picks 2 and 3?
I would prefer the first pick because I feel more comfortable about that one than what I wrote down for 2 and 3.
Fire away.
All right, with the first pick, I would select the Phoenix Suns.
They were in the top of my group as well.
Yes. The news that Matt Ishbia will take over as owner before the trade deadline, which came out shortly before we recorded here, that seals it to me. Like I would have had them number one anyway, just because you can't be $16 million in luxury tax and have a non-performing asset that's worth $10 million of that. With Jay Crowder sitting out, like something had to give there, and I still think that's the case. The other thing that I think has changed things a little for Phoenix is I think before they were trying to trade Jay Crowder and get another 4, which is very difficult where you're basically trying to trade Jay Crowder for Jay Crowder. I think the recent play of Dario Saric is actually a little bit of a game changer in that now they could feel more comfortable trading Crowder for maybe a backup 1 or 2. Or a 2 or 3. I mean, they could use help really anywhere along the positional spectrum, right? So I think that's a little bit of a game changer for them in terms of what types of deals they'd be receptive to.
Yeah, and certainly the fact that Ishbia now is going to be in control before February 9th, the reporting indicates that they should be able to get something done. What do you think of just the idea of him taking control, say, a week before the trade deadline? How is all that going to work as far as actually getting a deal done, approving a deal?
I presume there have been conversations already and indications to James Jones as to what type of spending might be acceptable and what type of spending might not be. Because that's the real question, right? Is he going to be somebody who's like, yeah, let's go all in? Or is he going to go the opposite direction and be like, I'm not writing that check to the league in my first year. We're 25 and 24 or whatever. Like, I'm not doing that. So that to me is the biggest question. But the idea of Phoenix not doing anything is almost right out for me. It just doesn't seem possible. Like, at the very least, like, they still have their first round pick this year. I could easily see them doing something with that to move off of money, maybe.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating what Ishbia's approach is. We've seen so many owners go all in early on. To me, though, the difference is this is a team where it makes sense to do that. Chris Paul, we'll see whether he can summon one last gasp here. He's looked a little bit better lately.
He looked really good in the first half against Memphis on Sunday. They played him 38 minutes, I want to say, in his first game back, which shocked me. And I thought he ran out of gas at the end. But that first half, like that was vintage CP.
So, and Devin Booker, we don't know exactly when he's coming back. It feels like after the All-Star break would be it. We haven't heard anything about a ramp up from him yet, although sometimes teams will keep it quiet. I'm not ruling it out. But, and I think even just this recent four-game winning streak, if they lose those four games and then you're seven games under 500, things might have been a lot different than they are now, but this has maybe given them some hope. And I guess the question is, if they just trade Jay Crowder to get back, you know, a guy who's not as good as Jay Crowder and some seconds or something,
mm-hmm.
does that count to you as a major transaction? It's kind of like right on the borderline for me.
You see, I think Jay Crowder counts for the receiving team. Like, yeah. Milwaukee trading Grayson Allen in 2 seconds for Jay Crowder or something like that. Like, that's a pretty significant deal, right?
Yeah, I guess you are doing that to assume that Jay Crowder will be in your playoff rotation. So, yeah, I think that counts. Although you do say, hey, well, if you didn't have to actually give up a first to get this guy, like, how major is it, really?
I mean, he started in the finals two consecutive years for two different teams, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. And he started for a 64-win team last year. So, and yeah, for them, it seems now with Šarić, like, he probably could be a bench backup power forward if he's playing better. And getting Cam Johnson back, of course, was huge for them.
Absolutely.
As well, and they've still got Torrey Craig, who you can throw in there in a pinch. So he's had a few moments this year. But it does seem like for Phoenix, if there were any star to become available, they would be right at the top of the list trying to trade for said star. We just don't really have any indications that that's the case yet.
I agree. And they should be. Again, they're sitting on all these picks, and they should be pushing their chips in and trying to, you know, Chris Paul obviously is not going to be playing at this level forever. It's this year and maybe next year probably for Phoenix. And then they still have Booker, Ayton, Bridges, whatever, but they're going to have to find another high level player to put around them at that point.
I agree with you. And I think also the fact that DeAndre Ayton has had such a disappointing year that yet again, it's looked like he's not necessarily going to be good enough to be that second foundational piece next to Booker moving into a new era. That adds the urgency because the opportunity cost of the future doesn't look as bright, so you might as well sacrifice it for the now, in my opinion. And this is a team that's more worth going all in on than, say, the Minnesota Timberwolves trading for Rudy Gobert,
for example.
In terms of new owner. But yeah, especially with him coming in during the season, hopefully there's been enough communication that he feels comfortable making a big move. It's got to be tough if you're a new owner coming in and being like, all right, this isn't necessarily my guy as the GM. I don't really have a great familiarity with what's going on here. And now I might make a move that's going to really hamstring us for the future once I actually do get my feet wet here. So I think maybe they'll be saved by the fact that there isn't really that player that's worth, you know, your 3 first-round pick type of package.
Yeah.
But certainly if, say, any of the Toronto guys become available, you'd expect them to be in on that. So, yeah, this is tough, actually. There are a number of teams that are all kind of in similar positions here. And if I were just if I got extra credit for volume here, which I don't, I might consider one of these teams. There's three teams that I kind of consider the linchpins of this trade deadline that could take us from kind of a boring trade deadline to like a really fascinating one. And of course, there are always teams that come out of nowhere, right? Nobody thought Sacramento was going to be trading Tyrese Haliburton for Domantas Sabonis. That was just such a shocker last year. So we might say, or the Vucevic trade 2 years ago. You know, we did
the Porzingis trade last year. Because that took people in the league by surprise. Like, the Haliburton trade actually didn't shock people, I don't think. More surprise than shock. Porzingis was the one nobody saw coming.
So I've kind of got three types of teams I can go for. One is sort of the same thing along at Phoenix, of like teams that just have to get better right now and they at least have something that they can trade to do that. Then they've got these three teams that have a ton to trade. We're just not sure if they're going to do it. And then there's this tier of teams that are pretty clearly trying to move guys, but they're just not that sexy and might not garner first round value.
Okay.
I'm going to actually pick the LA Clippers as my first pick.
I think that's a good one. I had them very high on my board. This is a team that always does something at the deadline.
And they don't have a ton to trade. They've got some lower level guys, Preston in Boston, Terrence Mann. Supposedly they are rebuffing efforts about him. They want him to be part of their group, which I think he does provide an important skill set for them in the playoffs. They have 27 and 29 swaps that they could trade and a 28 first. And of course, they have plenty of matching salary, none of which is too heinous, but none of it's amazing either. But it's not going to stop a deal. And then, of course, they have Steve Ballmer's incredible willingness to spend, which is probably, to me, the biggest thing that makes me think, like, that is an asset in and of itself.
Absolutely.
To take on players. Now, there aren't as many bad contracts as there used to be, obviously, but I don't know if they have the ammo to get a third best player. That's been a big focus here. That was kind of, when Danny and I talked about them, my biggest issue is it's like, who are they going to get that's so much better than the guys that they have that's available right now that is really going to make you feel better about their postseason chances?
It's you know, Ananobi, Siakam, right? Van Vliet, one of those three, right?
Right. But then it feels to me, if one of those players becomes available, they don't have the best offer.
It seems unlikely, yeah, because you're just doing a 28 first and matching salary, basically.
Yeah, and maybe you could throw in some of those swaps too. But, you know, Van Vliet, I'm very interested to see what his market value is because of the new contract that he's going to require. He just changed agents. That's usually, you don't change agents when you feel like you're going to take less.
Yeah. Right?
So, like, you're usually going to change agents because you're looking for a big payday. That's the reason for that. But maybe you would say, I mean, Van Vliet's so interesting. A, whether he's available. B, how much they could really get. Now, and those two things, of course, are interrelated with one another. Of like, you know, is Fred VanVleet, was an all-star last year and he fits in basically anywhere, but he's undersized. He wants a huge contract. He could be a free agent, so it better be somewhere where he wants to be in addition to getting paid. And so is it possible that his value might be in the range that the Clippers could afford him? Yes. But then it's also like, well, would Toronto even bother moving him at that point?
I don't think so. So here's my heretic trade proposal. Burn down the internet. Van Vliet to Phoenix, Chris Paul to the Clippers, Reggie and the 28 pick and two swaps and whatever else it takes to match. Maybe Robert Covington going back to Toronto.
Well, might then be, Phoenix.
Might be draft equity. Yeah, draft equity from Phoenix to Toronto as well.
That's fascinating. That would be absolutely fascinating. You know, I'm not sure how much I love the CP fit with Kawhi in particular. CP's like weird reluctance to take spot up shots. I talked about this today with Danny, of just how this obsession with getting a point guard for LA, it just, like, they're going to sink or swim with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard being good. And basically any point guard they're going to get who's going to need to dominate the ball, I don't think that actually is going to make their lives either, because that guy's probably not going to be able to shoot. Is it like, you know, they're running pick and roll and getting Kawhi Leonard the ball, like, on the move, going to the basket? Like, that's not his game. His game is to get the ball and go isolate. Like, it doesn't matter who the point guard is. He can just throw Kawhi Leonard the ball on the wing and let him attack, right? Like, so I've never understood that obsession, even though Kawhi himself and people within the Clippers have seemed to think that, going back to, like, the Rajon Rondo days.
Yeah, I think I still think there are times when they, like, having Kawhi just be the point guard is, like, too much.
Yeah, I agree. During the regular season, sure, it'd be nice to have that player.
Regular season, second units. I still think even times with them, but you're right. You want the guy to be more of a spot-up guy, too. That's where you could argue that Van Vliet is actually the better fit than CP. But I just don't know if they have the goods to get Van Vliet.
No, I think you're right there. But I'm thinking more with the Clippers that it's going to be something of a similar nature to what they did with Covington and Powell last year, where it's just maybe there's some starters on another team that the team's like, hey, you know, we're not really loving this money for this guy going forward, but the guy can still play. So, hey, if you got a little shorter contract you want to send us in exchange for this guy, great. We'll make that deal. Clippers will get more expensive. Who cares?
Kind of amazing that John Collins hasn't come up with these guys yet.
Yeah, he's exactly that type of player.
Right? I mean, if the biggest obstacle is the money, this is the team that doesn't care about the money, right?
Oh, it is that time again. Wedding season. Indochino's custom suits will have you walking into a wedding looking like $1 million, feeling like $1 million, because their suits are custom made to fit you perfectly. You can get a tailored fit from the comfort of your home. You can set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website, choose customizations without even leaving the house. Indochino was the official outfitter of my wedding. I got a tux from them. All my groomsmen got custom fitted sport jackets, and I'd like to think we all look great. Order your custom suit now. Be ready for wedding season, whether it's at home or in person at a showroom New Year, which I actually recommend. That's what I did. An Indochino style guy can walk you through all of the amazing customizations that they have. The lapels, the lining, single-breasted, double-breasted. You can feel the fabrics in person. That's definitely the best way to do it, in my opinion. But you can also do it from home as well. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use the code PER. Easy to remember PER because that's the metric that John invented. Use the code PER to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O, Indochino.com. And don't forget that PER code to let them know you came from us. As a sports fan, you know that when you get into the last seconds of the game, you've got an amazing chance to win, to make all your hard work pay off. All you have to do is convert at the very end, and your favorite player misses the last shot, swings and misses at that high fastball just out of the zone. So if it's that bad in sports, imagine how bad it is if your business's commerce platform keeps whiffing on golden opportunities. You're putting in all this work only to have it squandered because you can't actually convert, because your commerce platform is not keeping up. Instead, get the MVP you deserve. Get Shopify. They are revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. If you're a garage entrepreneur, IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. If you're selling signed sneakers from Shopify's in-person POS system or offering official outfielders outfits on Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform, you are covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify is the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers. It's no wonder that Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/PR, all lowercase, easy to remember because John invented it. That's shopify.com/PR to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/PR, all lowercase. Don't forget that /PR URL to let them know you came from us. Okay, so here's my next one.
Okay.
This is going to be tough here. And they're just, there's, you'd made the right move taking the first pick, because I think Phoenix would have been my first pick too. As far, and certainly there are a lot of these teams that are going to try to upgrade in some way, but as far as actually trading a first round pick or trading away someone on a first round pick, right? Because I would think maybe like a Charlotte, they're going to be in sell mode, but I don't think any of their guys are worth a first. I'm going to go with Golden State Warriors.
Whoa.
And that's probably not a great pick because they usually don't do much at the deadline. But I think they just clearly need to upgrade. And I think they need to show a commitment this year. Hopefully they can play a little bit better before the deadline, but they just need another guy, another closer on this team. And I'm not sure who that is who'd be available, but they just, that guy to play next to Draymond Green in the closing lineup, in the front court. I think that they just desperately need that. There are not that many options that really stick out to me. Like the Lakers, I don't think they're going to move their first. Milwaukee, they're kind of moving a first either. Like they're going to be competing with Golden State, presumably, for whoever this player is. But Golden State has the goods to outbid the likes of a Brooklyn or a Milwaukee or even a Clippers if they want to. Wiseman.
Yeah. What is the Wiseman contract? I mean, that's the one that I think is hasn't been talked about a lot lately, but that is the one that makes a lot of sense. Just because that $12 million for him next year, I mean, it gets so expensive for the Warriors. It's so much easier for them if that money is off their books. And to put him in an environment where he can develop more, I think would be really helpful. It's just, okay, what's the team and player where that makes the most sense?
Yeah, I think that's the big question. They don't have matching salary above him to make a big move. So it also kind of feels with like the Bob Myers news.
My first smart aleck question was going to be, were you including draft compensation for Bob Myers in this, or were we just talking about players?
Well, his contract expires, so they won't, whoever hires him won't need to.
That's true. That's true. Wait till July.
I don't love that pick, but I'm very interested to see who you're going to go with next here.
You and me both.
Who's going to be the first one of us to pick one of these big three linchpin teams that could make this an exciting deadline?
So, I think the one I'm going to go with here, and it sort of just clears the bar for being significant enough, but it's such a significant team and would be such a significant role that I think it has to. Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, they are trying. They want to do something.
They need to do something.
I think they realize they have four really good players and then not quite enough around that. And they need at least one more high-level guy when they get to a playoff series, especially since they don't really know what they're going to get from Middleton, I think. So, but definitely a team that's good enough to win the championship.
Yeah, I think that's right. And they're just they're a little low on two-way players right now. Maybe Pat Connaughton is the only other guy outside of that top four who qualifies. And you know, Bobby Portis, Grayson Allen, Joe Ingles. I mean, I think he provides a limited role for them. But still, you just going into a playoff series with that many question marks on one end or the other, I think is difficult. Having another guy who just fits in a variety of lineups that you don't have to compensate for them schematically on either end would be very useful for them. The Bucks can trade a 29 first now, should they want to, and a 28 swap. Is Marjan Beauchamp have much value? Yeah, he might. So there might be teams out there that would be
RJ Hampton-esque value.
Yes, yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to put it.
Future seconds from Sacramento and Indiana. So you're not necessarily getting Milwaukee's seconds if you do a deal with seconds with them, which is, I mean, Sacramento's better now, obviously, and so are the Pacers, but I think if you're talking about like Milwaukee second and 23 or 24, teams are just like, well, that has no value to me at all because it's going to be the 57th pick or whatever.
Yeah, and there was this reporting that they were offering Grayson Allen and 4 seconds to Houston for Eric Gordon. They've gotten some stuff with that 4 seconds package before. They got Nikola Mirotic for that a while ago, and that worked out so well that he was never seen on this side of the pond ever again.
Well, plus they got everybody blowing up their phones for Serge Ibaka, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you might. Maybe he'll play now that Bobby Portis is out. All right, I'm going to pull the trigger here on the Toronto Raptors.
All right. That is the one that would change everything, right?
Well, and we've been talking through this and Van Vliet, for example, I don't know that it's even going to be, oh, hey, we're going to blow this team up necessarily. Although, frankly, that's probably what I would advise. I would advise if you're going to move one of these guys that you do it for more than one of them. Mm-hmm. Given some of the contractual issues with so many players ending either this year or next year. But between Gary Trent, Fred VanVleet, Siakam, and Anobi, all of those guys ending either this year or next year, the team disappointing. There are just so many of these guys that it feels like they would end up having to move one of them, right?
I think Trent's going to move. I think that's the guy as I look at it. Like, I think Toronto's going to take calls on the other guys, but they're not going to do anything unless they can really just dunk on somebody on the trade. But Trent is the one. He's a free agent after the year. I'm not sure you really want to pay him given their salary structure and where the team is right now, quite frankly. And the other piece of this we haven't talked about, because we're just looking at Toronto moving one of these four players. They're not going to move Barnes, but of their other like key five players, moving one of those four. But what about Toronto acquiring a center?
Yeah, that's
right. That has to be centers on the table, you know.
Yeah, a Jakob Poeltl type.
The reunion with Jakob Poeltl, obviously. Or there's a lot of bigs on the market. I think there could be a lot of action actually at the five position at this trade deadline. So I think that one isn't getting enough discussion because everyone is focused on the players Toronto might give up.
Yeah, I think the last 2 years has shown me if you add up the defensive talent on this roster, like, oh man, like these, they're so athletic. Like they don't have enough offense to be a really high level offense. If you're going to make this team a contender, they kind of got to do this worst version of what Memphis does with running and offensive boards and stuff to put together a reasonable offense. But yeah, your hope was this team gets to be a top five defense. And I think what these last 2 years have proven is that they just aren't able to get there with this group. Like they just haven't quite been as good as you would have hoped staying in front of guys and switching. And then they don't have any rim protection when guys get by them. And they frankly make too many mistakes defensively as well and give up way too many straight line drives due to miscommunications or blow bys or whatever. So they need a good rim protector. And I think they have defended a lot better when Koloko is out there, but he's not quite ready for prime time. So maybe they'll feel their last gasp at saving this group is adding a high-level defender in the middle to play Nick Nurse's system where they force everyone to drive and then block every shot and then get out and run. And so that's their way of trying to fix this. And then if it doesn't work, then you think about, okay, maybe Siakam and Anobi would move these guys in the summer. The VanVleet thing, though, is still, it's difficult. It seems like, particularly the way he fits with some of these possible rebuilding teams, I would be very worried about a huge offer for him this offseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of cap room sloshing around there this offseason, too. So it's going to get interesting. We haven't really talked about cap positioning trades, but I think we're going to see some of those, too.
Let me just ask you this to close out on Toronto. What price would make you move on from VanVleet? Like all these guys, actually. Let's go through all of them. Those big four. Trent, Anunoby, VanVleet, Siakam. Given where the Raptors are right now, given that Siakam seems like a pretty good bet to make All-NBA this year unless he gets injured. Maybe 50-50 on that. We'll see where the Raptors end up. The more they win, the greater chance of that, in which case he would then be looking for the Supermax. Let's start with VanVleet. What is the price that you're willing to accept for him where you're like, okay, we feel really good about doing this. We had to take this deal.
I think if you get two firsts, you probably feel pretty good about that.
Like two lotto-protected firsts?
Let's say, realistically, you're going to get a first. One of them is for 2023 that's going to be in the 20s, right? Because that's the type of team you're dealing with. And then the other one's going to be 2 or 3 years out, probably have some protection on it.
Yeah, but maybe it's top four protection, maybe it's unprotected. I think we're kind of – the other problem, I talked about this with Danny too, is who is going to be the first team to make a move that acknowledges that sanity has returned to the trade economy?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Like, because you've got the Gobert, the Murray trade.
Mitchell was borderline, but like it trended a little more towards sanity, right?
Yeah. But Mitchell also had – 3 years left on his deal.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's been, you know, he's going to start the All-Star game this year. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, you know, Gobert, VanVleet, Murray, like these like lower level All-Star type of guys.
Here's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
The political reality that, so the general managers know this, but the owners, I don't think, know this. And the problem you have is that your owner is saying, well, Danny Ainge got this for Rudy Gobert. Why can you only get two firsts for our guy? I think that that is the thing that could really gum up the works. And it depends, you know, some teams have, you know, more independence in the front office than others. Some have, you know, different owners and personalities and whatnot. Like, I think Toronto, where Masai is so strong there, I think there'd be probably, that would probably be less of an issue than it would some other places.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Toronto, if they wanted to move all their guys, they could be in the same position that an OKC and a Utah have been in terms of getting picks. They have that much talent.
That'd be crazy if they just went full teardown and just kept Barnes and got rid of everybody.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, I guess you can point to that the Gobert trade obviously hasn't worked so far. If things were actually going well in Minnesota, then maybe this economy wouldn't have changed as much, although the Gobert trade already kind of maybe messed up the KD trade this offseason. So at some point, someone is going to have to make a move in a more, because I was like, oh yeah, you know, Van Vliet, maybe he's kind of similar to the Mike Conley trade to Utah.
I mean, that was the first thing I thought of, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been a few other guys who have been last couple of years, their contracts, you know, 10th, 15th best point guard in the league. Brogdon was someone who got traded for on a sign-in trade for a first and 2 seconds. But I think Van Vliet has more stature than him. So you, that's kind of the, I think.
Derek White was picks. like a first and a swap, right?
Who was?
Derek White.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good deal for the Spurs. Yeah. Okay, so that's Van Vliet. I mean, we're spending a ton of time on the Raptors, but makes sense. I mean, Anunoby, I think 2 unprotected firsts would probably get me there.
That, me too. I think you're really dealing with a situation on his contract where it gets a little iffy on the next deal. And I think he's not a primary offensive weapon, and I think that caps his value to me.
That said, at least he's the type of player who he's always going to fit in. He's always going to give you production. He's still pretty young, too. So yeah. he might be overpaid on his next deal, but he's still going to help you win basketball games. He's just going to make $5 or $10 million a year too much.
It'd be like a Wiggins almost.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. Yeah.
They're not totally similar players, but in terms of like where they are in the value hierarchy.
Yeah. And I've said this about Toronto. I mean, I would be very seriously considering moving all these guys because it's just, it would be wonderful if you're like, hey, you know, we've underachieved. We've got a lot of talent. Let's just keep letting this group grow. All these guys are relatively young. Yeah, it'd be great to be able to have that option. But these guys' contracts expire. Like, you can't just hold on to all of them. It's just, like, you have to make a decision.
And they're going
to
be unrestricted. And a couple of these contracts are difficult to extend, too, is the other thing.
Yeah, although maybe we'll, with Anunoby, that'll get solved with the new CBA. Siakam, I mean, are you talking about just the full draft from a team like Phoenix?
I would ask for 3 firsts for Siakam, yeah.
Not 4 firsts, 3 firsts.
I think he's closer to Murray than Mitchell on the value spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, what was he, second team All-NBA last year? I mean, I think there's... I agree with you. I think he is, to me, worth more than that because I think there are some fish, or I'm sorry, worth less than someone like Mitchell. But if you just look at some of the objective things that he's accomplished, like he's kind of been up and down too. His shooting is still questionable. Like he's older.
He's a little bit like a really high level innings eater, just in terms of being like a high, capable of high usage, but probably not capable of crazy efficiency.
And he holds on to the ball a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I agree. But, you know, if you're a Phoenix, I think I would probably go in on him. And, hey, if you could, I guess what would they do at center? Like, who's the matching salary there? I guess it got to be 8, huh?
Wow, that would be an interesting trade, Ayton for Siakam.
And maybe Toronto gives Ayton some value. I think Ayton is a bad contract right now. I would put him as more of a negative value, honestly.
That would be a really that's a really interesting one. Wow, I had not thought about that. That would be a really interesting trade.
Okay, that's right. Probably enough on the Raptors.
Should we keep picking teams?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your turn here.
I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics.
Wow. And really? Okay. I had them way lower. Because I think, what do you get the man who has everything?
Oh, they're going to trade for another big. They're going to trade Gallinari.
But like a first-round value big?
I think their 25 first-round pick is sitting out there. They know this is the year. Maybe there will be other years, but right now they're in this window where they have Brown and Tatum in their prime. They still have Al Horford in his 30s playing well. Robert Williams is upright. Like, let's go. Like, this is it. And yeah, I think they will try to use Gallinari, the 25 pick, and whatever else, and get another big there. Obviously, Jakob Poeltl would be ideal. I don't know if they have enough goods to get him, but I think that is absolutely the call they're going to try to make, and I think they're going to be pretty aggressive about it.
Yeah, I don't like that at all for them. I'm not disputing you have a better understanding of like what they're actually trying to do probably than I do, but it just doesn't make sense to me to make that deal. And then also like the matching salary thing too. Now, maybe part of the reason to do it is just to get off of Gallo's money for next year and what'll be a big tax payment. And Al Horford, you know, he's not going to be a starter level of guy in the playoffs forever. And you need to acknowledge that. But I think another center who doesn't shoot, just how many minutes is that guy going to play in the playoffs? I mean, maybe it's insurance for Rob Williams or something, but it seems like they could, if I'm going to give up a first, I need to get someone who's like, I don't think there's a player out there for one first that's enough of an upgrade over anyone that they have in their top eight at the moment.
Yeah, I think they, after what happened last year in the playoffs, I think they just want another big guy because they just don't know what's going to happen with Rob. And I mean, they're real, if he's out of the lineup, they are just really thin up front.
Yeah. Well, you definitely, I mean, this isn't unique to you because there's been reporting on this also, but you've definitely been very interested in them acquiring a center. I mean, they've gotten enough from Cornette, but you're not loving him in the playoffs either. And it would be nice maybe if the guy that they got was someone that they could re-sign or was under contract as insurance for
yes.
Grant Williams.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say there's a Grant Williams aspect to this too, which, I mean, is it possible to involve him in a deal like that and go higher up the food chain?
I think they need Grant Williams though. Like, who are they going to get who's better than him to guard the likes of Giannis in the playoffs? Like, and that, KD did good on KD too. So I mean, it's really tough for me to stomach giving up a first for a guy who's going to be a fourth big for you when healthy.
Maybe. I don't know. Could be, I don't know, maybe they end up doing something smaller than this that doesn't qualify for what we're saying. Maybe it's 2 seconds. Oh, does Peyton Pritchard count if he was in a deal?
Oof.
Right? You could do Pritchard and Gallinari?
I don't think so. he's right on the borderline too, I guess. All right. Well, we'll relitigate this if they actually do something of whether it counts or not.
I've created our first controversy of the 2023 draft.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Hawks.
This is the next team on my board. Yeah.
And this is despite the fact that I talked about this with Danny, that there still isn't a John Collins trade that makes sense, even though they are desperately trying to move him. But just simply because we know they're trying really hard. And they also, I think, have new management in that's looking to make some changes. They've been below expectations so far. I think I do have to go with them here, even though I still weirdly think that John Collins might have more value to them than any other team that's going to be trying to get him.
My favorite John Collins trade is still John Collins to Indiana, because with their cap situation, they could take him in. It's not a big deal. I think him next to Miles Turner is perfect, and Indiana's fours have been killing them. But
yeah, if Indiana is trying to go the route of being better, you know, maybe that's true. And they also, Indiana has this Cleveland pick and this Boston pick from this year that are, you know, maybe they could just, and they're not as worried about the money as some teams would be. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, we had The other one that I think has kind of been floated around there for a while is Kuzma for Collins, but it seems like Washington would rather have Kuzma and just pay him the next contract than...
I think once Washington started rolling with this Porzingis-Gafford front court, I think the idea of bringing in Collins just made no sense at that point, if it ever made sense. Yeah, Atlanta, so the biggest reason to pick them and the biggest reason to not pick them are kind of the same, which is we don't know that much about this new group, and we don't... They're new and they haven't done this dance before, really. So what do they know? Do they know what they don't know? And can they get something like this to the finish line without, or are they going to be too ambitious to get something to the finish line and overpay? Right. That there's just a lot of questions here, and we'll see what happens. I actually think when healthy, the 1-8 on this team is pretty good. Like, I think we've seen that the last couple of weeks, but they're still probably not as good as they convinced themselves they were going to be.
Yeah, Trae Young actually playing like Trae Young, it papers over some of the issues that they had early in the season, but it's they definitely need more at backup forward, to be sure.
Yeah, backup four, backup three is like the spot that has really hurt them all year, especially with Hunter being in and out of the lineup. Griffin is the rookie. I mean, he's been good, but he's pretty undersized for a three, let alone if you're trying to get him at four. Jalen Johnson's minutes haven't been good. Justin Holiday hasn't given him anything, sadly. Former Grizzly, great guy, but hasn't played well for him.
All right, your pick.
It is to me, and I had this team very close with Atlanta on my board. Miami Heat.
That's really interesting, and we're getting down to some of these non-obvious candidates at the moment, but it feels like, are they, because they could make some trades, right? They could trade their 23.
They could trade their 23 first, and they are now high enough in the standings where I think it becomes reasonable to put that pick in play, where they can do that, trade Dedmon, maybe some other contracts or whatever. They could move Oladipo, although he's played well for them.
Yeah,
he can
block a trade too if he wants to.
That's a good point. Nikola Jovic could be part of a trade.
Well, and Duncan Robinson is the matching salary, but he still has three more years at $19 million a pop, basically. So that's, I'm sorry?
The Heat start every trade call with Duncan Robinson and their 23 first. And then when the other team hangs up the phone, then they have to come back with something else in their 23 first. And that's the issue, right? Like, if Miami ideally wants to do something with Robinson in that pick, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that. So, but they are so lacking at the four, and it's like such an obvious obstacle to any kind of high level success with this Bam and Jimmy group that they almost have to do something. Now, could they do something with Kyle Lowry in the 23 first?
Yeah, that's interesting too. Lowry really has disappointed there. My only thing why I would have the Heat a little lower personally is it just seems like they would want to hold on to everything that they can with greater ambitions than let's trade a first for some guy who's going to be our starting four man but is old and, you know, is not in the top 20 at their position.
Yeah, possibly. I just don't know that they could do anything better than that even in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, now maybe part of the move that they make is the value includes getting off of Robinson as well. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Maybe they can't do anything better in the offseason. But
The other reason I went with Miami here is because history, right? This is like the Clippers. This is a team that makes deals in midseason historically.
Okay, my turn here. Picking between a few options, and we'll try to pick up the pace a little bit here. I'm going to go for the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Just because of Bogdanovich, if he moves, I think that would count.
Alec Burks would count too.
Would he? I guess if he gets traded for a first, he would. If he doesn't, I don't think so. I think he's like very fringe of a top eight. I mean, he would come in and play 15, 20 minutes a game. I don't know. Maybe
he's been pretty good. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I know it's Detroit, whatever. Like, he's been good though.
No, he's saved their season. They could.
There's the Sadiq Bey angle here as well. I know everyone's focused on Bogdanovich, but I do think there's a possibility Sadiq Bey moves.
Yeah, and also I think Detroit, they are, for good or for ill, I think if they do move a guy, it will be for something significant back. Otherwise, they're just not going to bother.
I think that's true, yes. And we'll see how much of an overpay it takes. I I think on Bogdanović, a true first round pick would get it done. I mean, the thing you're saying is an unprotected first, and the implication of that in people's heads is a little different. But when you, like, if Phoenix calls about Bogdanović and says, we'll give you our 2023 first, which is going to end up being like the 22nd pick or whatever, I think Detroit does that deal at the end of the day.
Interesting. Yeah, can you send me Devin Booker's medical reports before the trade just so I can assess where you're going to end up in the standings? Okay, my turn.
Yeah, really.
Or no, I'm sorry, your turn. I just did Detroit.
Yeah. Although presumably it's a tell, right? Like if Phoenix is making that offer, they know that they're going to get Booker back, right? Otherwise it wouldn't bother. Next team for me, and I think we actually maybe should have had this team higher because I do think they're going to end up doing something, is the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, I guess the biggest reason I hesitated on them is just that I don't know that there is anyone who has like first round type of value on this team.
Okay, so like Mike Conley, for instance, I don't know if a trade involving him would involve a first round pick, but it would end up having like... If he went to the Clippers,
sure,
right? That's a significant trade, yeah, right?
I mean, if he gets moved, it's going to be a starting point guard somewhere on a good team. So yeah, that would count, I suppose. You're just kind of like, man, if he doesn't get a first round pick, now it probably what it would be, I guess, would be maybe the first also involves just taking back like shittier money from the other team as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard for me. I mean, maybe if this Utah team drops a bunch of games between now and the deadline. Or just Mike goes up and says, hey, I would love to be on a contender, and like his agent is kind of working the phones. It just seems like there's such good vibes in Utah right now that, you know, all right, Malik Beasley, sure, Jared Vanderbilt, or you know, even Clarkson, they're talking about resigning. Now that could all just be a smokescreen from Ainge and he doesn't give a shit. But
what about a fake Duncan Robinson trades, him and the 23 Miami first for Kelly Olynyk?
Yeah, Olynyk is someone who I think could move.
My fake Boston scenarios might have Olynyk in them too.
Mm. Yeah, he does provide a little bit of a different element for them than some of these more rim-protecting type of centers. I don't particularly care for Olynyk on a playoff team, given his defensive limitations. Like, he's been linked to the Warriors a lot, and I'm just like, that doesn't seem like a good idea to me for Golden State. All right, Utah's on the books for you. Yeah, some of these teams definitely have guys to trade. I'm just like, yeah, is that really going to be first-round value? And if it's not... I mean, I think the Charlotte Hornets have got to be the next one, maybe, for me.
I'll grab them. I had them further down on my board for two reasons. One, I just don't think this is a very creative front office. So, like, coming up with the actual deal, I just see roadblocks. Like, there's not a long history of midseason trades with these guys. One of their potentially best tradable guys is Kelly Oubre, who's injured, which I think is another obstacle. You do hear Rozier's name out there.
Teams seem to actually think Rozier is good right now. If I'm Charlotte, I would certainly, if I'm Charlotte, I would seize on that perception immediately.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Now Rozier, I mean, Seth, I think it was either Seth or John Schumann did this, looking at Rozier has basically been the lowest below his career shooting averages of like any player this season. Yes. So I do expect him to bounce back some, but I mean, that is, you know, 23 million average over the next 3 years after this one. I would be very interested in moving that for any kind of value, and I'd be happy to take back bad money for it too.
What do you think of Dwayne Dedman, Nikola Jovic, and the 23 Miami first for PJ Washington?
I really don't like PJ Washington on a playoff team, personally. I mean, I'm not saying that's an unrealistic trade, but he's so bad defensively. I just can't. I mean, maybe you feel like you can get him to defend better on a real team, but
that would be the logic, because right now he's like a little bit of a fake small ball five, right?
Yeah, and Plumlee's another guy who could be available. I mean, it seems like all these guys are kind of more would go for seconds, and at that
Plumlee would be a guy who'd go for seconds. I he's been really good this year, honestly. I think he could help a lot of teams, but probably wouldn't quite get over the bar for us as far as qualify as significant.
You need someone to be prominently involved in the opponent's playoff buzzer beater.
Yeah, don't bring him in for the late game inbounds play. Gordon Hayward, anyone?
I think it's your pick.
Hello?
It's your pick. We probably got like 15-20 minutes left there, so let's roll through the rest of these.
All right. New York Knicks.
Yeah. I mean, they have a ton to trade, obviously, although they're also hoarding it. What's your theory behind picking them here?
Just so much smoke that there has to be a little bit of fire somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Their biggest question is, do any of these guys add up to the level of importance?
Yeah, I would say Cam Reddish would be a no.
Yeah, a clear no. You know, Hartenstein, you know, quickly, does that, like, you know, get over the board?
Yeah, that would be, I think that I would count that as a significant move.
And then I think you can't rule out the Knicks doing something to be an acquirer as well. I mean, given that they have they're sitting on quite a few future firsts for that reason. So yeah. I think they could be a team that jumps in on one of these guys. You know, we talked about Toronto, obviously. The Knicks have their setup. They have matching contracts with Rose, with Fournier, with whatever. And so they have the flexibility to do a lot of different things. So I think we're at the point where they become interesting enough here to go off the board.
I'm going to go ahead and grab the Indiana Pacers now. And obviously the chances of them doing something major seem to have reduced. Although, as you noted with John Collins, maybe they could even acquire someone. They also just have this cap space sitting out there. I know there's a thought that they're going to renegotiate and extend Turner. They probably won't want to do that until they exhaust options with their cap space. But it seems like, and you know, I'm not going to.
The other aspect of this is that if you can't renegotiate and extend Turner, there's probably going to be a Turner trade. That to me is the biggest reason to take them is the possibility that Turner gets traded.
Well, and the other thing too, I mean, I know they won against the Bulls last night, but I don't know how long Halliburton's going to be out. If they just lose their next five games and they're seven games under 500, then all of a sudden without Halliburton, maybe they're like, all right, you know, we're just going to do what we did last year. And I mean, they looked good when everyone was healthy. So maybe you can still keep chasing after that, but it would make more sense maybe to move guys. Heald is another one who ultimately.
Does he qualify? Does he get over the line for you?
I would be surprised if Buddy Hield moved without a first round pick being involved. Now it might be part of a larger deal or whatever, but I don't think he has as much value. He's having a much better season this year because he's not taking all these two pointers that are inefficient.
Yeah,
I think
he's not running like 20 pick and rolls. Yeah,
yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Next pick for you. It's tough here.
All right. Leap of faith. Philadelphia 76ers.
Daryl does like to make his trades. There isn't an obvious spot to upgrade. And then in terms of assets, and that's probably the bigger reason that I had them lower, is just they don't really have much to move that I would think would be that great, right? I mean, they've got a 29.
It's Matisse Thybulle, right?
Yeah. Who I would not consider just on his own to be a major player.
And then I think the other wind at the back of a potential trade scenario here is the fact that they are like 14 cents above the luxury tax line right now.
Yeah. No, I think they will for sure do some kind of move. I just didn't think it was going to be high level enough to pick them at this point.
And I think that's probably the case. But just given the history here of aggressiveness, I just think it can't be ruled out. Something with Shake Milton does not get over the bar, right?
No, I wouldn't think so.
And Jaden Springer has lost his RJ Hampton status.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When he's at the point where you're surprised they picked up his rookie option, I would say that that's the case. Where you're at the point where Daryl is like constantly tweeting out every time he has a good G League game, I think you reached that. Okay, I'm gonna grab San Antonio here. Just
whoa, okay. Oh, because I guess Poeltl.
Well, Poeltl, I think they have Josh Richardson and Doug McDermott to move potentially as well. But the bigger thing is just that they have this cap space sitting out there,
yeah.
$27 million. So it just, that's going to get used in some way. Does it get used to just get, you know, they take on $10 million and they get 2 seconds for it? Or is there a salary dump out there? Or, I mean, it just, there's, and Poeltl, it seems like if he's really going to get $20 million a year next year, like that's, if $20 million a year players are worth a first round pick to acquire generally. So I think that's where it would land for me. I'm not like so enamored of any of their guys. Like what if they traded Josh Richardson and that shitty Charlotte first for James Wiseman, would that count? I guess that would be a first.
That would count. Yeah.
You know, that would kind of be a salary matching mix. Maybe it would even go down to like a couple of seconds in that deal. Then maybe it wouldn't count. I don't know. I think Wiseman is the number two overall pick. If he gets moved, that's probably, that counts, I think.
Yeah.
It's close. Yeah. Borderline. He's still got his RJ Hampton status. That's it. Your next
pick. All right. All right. I'm going to go with Houston. I don't know what you think about Eric Gordon, but like he, that would be the, I just think this has to happen, right? Like, I don't know if they're going to get a first form. I think they're probably not going to, but something involving him has to happen.
Why don't they just keep him then?
Because if they win the championship, they'll owe him $20
million. Oh, yeah, you can't risk that. I'm pretty sure Houston has literally been mathematically eliminated for the playoffs already. They're 11 and 36. I guess.
No, I just say he's. I don't think he's going to be on the team next year.
No, I don't think he will be either. I guess there are a number of complications, one of which emerged when we were thinking about this potential Bucks deal of the Rockets don't want more money for next year. So that's where it gets tough to get the matching salary, all expiring contracts, and to get back something for Gordon as well when he's making $20 million. It kind of seems tough to me. I mean, I think even if just putting together that deal becomes tough to me if I'm Houston. Unless you could, you know, would Miami be willing to give up their 2023 first and Duncan Robinson for Eric Gordon? Like, I mean, if I'm taking out money for next year and I'm Houston, I need at least a first. Otherwise, I'm just not interested
in doing it. Yeah, and that may be part of what's been put out there, that they're looking for a first for Gordon because they know that they're probably going to have to take on money beyond this year just to get to that matching number on him.
All right, so you just had Houston. I'm going to grab Chicago now. I'm actually glad that I got all three of the linchpin teams because I think one of them is going to do something. Okay. And if they do something, it should probably be pretty big.
Okay.
Even though, again, I don't know if any one of them is particularly likely to do something. It just, you know, we'll see what happens for Chicago in the next week or two here. But it seems like one direction or the other, they kind of, Vucevic's contract is ending. And I mean, it just, they're so stuck in purgatory right now. I mean, maybe it happens in the offseason. They let this group get one healthy time together. Although there's still no Lonzo. I don't think there's going to be a Lonzo this year.
Yeah.
But they have a lot to trade and it would kind of make sense to trade it. So if they do decide to move, it would be major.
I agree. If they, that's one. If they do act, it will be seismic. That it will be a game changer. Speaking of which, so I'm going to take as my next team. I haven't really heard anyone talk about them with the trade deadline, but New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, they and Memphis are kind of birds of a feather here. And New Orleans, I mean, we can go through what do they have to move. I mean, they basically, like, New Orleans can go get anyone that's available if they want to.
Correct. And, I mean, as far as contracts, they can do Graham and Temple or Kira Lewis. Like, they have a lot of ways they can go. Jackson Hayes.
Yeah, you would think certainly if an Ananobi became available, they would be in on that. Memphis would probably be in on that too, right? And both teams kind of have just that need of just another two-way player on the wing. I would say New Orleans has a greater need for that. But, I mean, if you're not going to bring in a guy to start, I mean, the other thing that they would love to do, I'm sure, is to get off of Graham's contract, given their tax concerns for next year.
100%. Yeah. So you could even see something the other way where they trade, you know, could they do Graham and the least favorable of their picks this year? I guess they just have a swap this year, so it's baked in. Oh, well, yeah, you can't do that, actually. Never mind.
Yeah. So the extras that they have right now are that, I mean, they only have actually two just extra straight out picks. They have three swaps available as well, but
yeah,
they've got a Milwaukee 27, and then they've got the deferable Lakers pick, either 24 or 25 are their only extra picks. But then they also have a few swaps, and they have all their own picks, obviously, but they are limited in trading their own picks because you have to have something to swap. But yeah, that's going to be a fascinating one. It's a shame that they haven't been able to have their whole team together.
Because they don't even know what they look like. Yeah, it's going to be really tricky for them.
Yeah, if I were them, I'd actually be more interested in getting an upgrade at center who can shoot. And obviously, I've loved Miles Turner for them for a very long time. I'm not sure who else would be out there that falls into that category. But Vooch. Valanciunas is another guy where I think he helps them in the regular season, but the fit with Zion for him is questionable, and he wasn't closing games. He's making $15 million. So they definitely, I think there could just be a financial component. It would be nice for them. Like, they have a lot of picks that have some value, like this Lakers swap, the Lakers deferment for next year. I mean, when Danny and I went through and ranked all of the first round picks, those were both right at the top of the list for me due to the disaster potential that exists anytime with LA. But they don't really have, you know, just like this one shitty protected pick in the future that they can use to kind of get off money and maybe get a player or something. All right, so New Orleans is down. I'm going to go for the Dallas Mavericks. I don't think they want to give up a first. I don't know. Is Josh Green, he's kind of right on the RJ Hampton borderline because he's playing better this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't consider Tim Hardaway Jr. necessarily a significant asset player at this point in time. But they certainly feel pressure to get better this year. It's just that problem we've been talking about of do they need to conserve their assets for the next big move. But if they don't, I don't think that next big move is out there, nor can they make that move until they extinguish this obligation from the Porzingis trade.
Exactly. Christian Wood's situation a little interesting, whether they want to pay him or try to do something with him right now.
Your pick.
Hang on. I had my team and I lost them. All right. I think we're at, I know who I want. Oklahoma City Thunder.
Interesting. Okay.
If somebody good and young becomes available. No, if somebody good and young becomes available and they're sitting all these future picks, I think they would just be like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Like, we'll trade, Baisley and whatever and, take back somebody. They can't take on a big number. They're not really set up to do that. But I think they could be a stealth player for any halfway good young player that becomes available.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I think, what about, Sadiq Bey? You're thinking, along that type of level?
Or
a better guy than that.
Or a better guy than that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're just such believers in the players that they have and the guys that they've drafted and trying to develop them that it would also kind of be like a signal that they just they're not going to tank this year. I mean, maybe they're just too good already. I think they would have liked to have been bad again this year. They're not at this point. Maybe we've seen them do some epic jobs before, but it seems like, Shea trying to push for all NBA and stuff like that. They wouldn't be able to do that politically this year. Yeah, they were lower for me. I think they're still kind of more in develop mode, and it's just a happy accident that they're as good as they are right now. My next pick is, I guess I'll do the Lakers.
Yeah, they're the next team on my board. I think it's unlikely they're going to do something with those 27 and 29 picks, which is really the thing that would happen if something happens with the Lakers. But there's probably enough push out there, even with the Hachimura trade being done, that there's going to be some internal pressure to do stuff, which could push them to do something that I would not recommend. But we'll see.
Your pick?
I think now we can go with Memphis. I think it's unlikely they're going to do a deal. I think we had looked at Danny Green as a guy who is possibly a trade chip, and I think now they're looking more at Danny Green as a guy who can be an upgrade at that backup wing spot for them. Relative to what they're getting from Conchar and Williams. And so I think he's going to end up playing for them. And so at that point, what is the deal they're making? What are the pieces they're putting in to get something else? You're right. If somebody like Anunoby came available at the right price, you could definitely see that one. But otherwise, they're probably more likely to stand pat, I think.
Cleveland Cavaliers are next for me. It just their inability to make a move rather than willingness was the big issue. They cannot trade a first as of now, but they are desperately going to be looking for anybody with the heartbeat at the small forward position. So they're going to be trying to do something. That's why I'll pick them here, but I'm not sure.
Well, does it deal? You know, you can argue we should have had him higher because does it deal with Caris LeVert and it get over the bar?
like Caris LeVert for Tim Hardaway Jr. Okay. I mean, like, if those are guys that are in the top eight rotation, like guys making $20 million or whatever. We'll see what it is. We can argue about it later. I
suppose. We'll need a ruling from the judges. All right, it's to me. I'll go with another team that will try and try, but I think is unlikely to actually get anything over the finish line. That's the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, Brooklyn is interesting. They have a first to trade if they want to. They can trade their... maybe they should actually have been higher because they have an extra first, this Philly first, that they could move if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then they could also do their own 29 first and a 28 swap. My bigger concern for them actually is just who's available that's an upgrade for them. Like some of these guys, Claxton, Royce O'Neal, Watanabe, Joe Harris is starting to look a little bit better now, TJ Warren working out. It's like those are the type of guys they would be trying to move for, but I don't know who's available that's better than the guys that they have already. That kind of is maybe more the issue. I think they have at least some ammo if they did want to go somewhere.
Yeah, the Mills contract is probably one. He's kind of redundant with Curry. But
yeah.
Again, who's out there at that price becomes difficult. And then I think earlier this year we thought maybe something would happen with Kyrie. I don't think that's going to happen. So probably more a Stan Pat team, but definitely an interesting team to watch.
All right, I'll go Portland here. They're hamstrung by this Larry Nance pick that's lotto protected forever and ever for eternity forever. And the fact that they're not an obvious playoff team anytime soon. But so first, yeah.
Would a Josh Hart trade move the needle?
Yeah, I think that would count. That would count if they were to move him. Sure.
That is the one I think to watch if they do something with him, just to get out in front of this mutual option for next year, clean up the tax situation a little so they can re-sign Jeremy Grant. They already have Nasir Little and Gary Payton signed as like defense guys on the wing for next year. So I'd say that would be the one to watch.
Your next pick?
Yeah, we're really scraping the barrel here, huh?
Yeah,
I'm going to go. I'll go Sacramento.
Okay.
I think it's unlikely they do something. They're encumbered by the pick in the Herder trade, so they can't do a first until 28. I'm sure they would like to move Rashawn Holmes. I don't know what they can do to get anything for him. A Harrison Barnes trade would be the other one that would probably count with the judges here, and I think that's really unlikely.
Yeah, I think they definitely would like to try to do something here as well as they're playing. But they also, who are they going to get that's going to be an upgrade in their starting five? Like, they could use a little more depth at backup guard, although they've got Monk still. Like, they could use a little more depth at backup forward, but that seems like not a move you would be trading a first for. I don't know, like, who would be, like, the big acquisition at that point. I will go with... It's the Washington Wizards. They're always boring. I realize that. But they at least have some stuff to trade. They, in theory, could be trying to get better. Maybe things break down with Porzingis or Kuzma between now and the deadline, and it really becomes clear they don't want to stick around. That all seems unlikely to me, though. Who's next?
I think there's only one team left.
We have two teams left. No. We have three teams left.
We have three left?
Would you like to know who they are?
Yeah. We have Orlando, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have Denver.
Okay.
And the team that I think literally has nothing to trade, although maybe that's not true. Certainly in terms of draft picks, so you could be forgiven for forgetting about them.
Minnesota.
I'm sorry. I had to just wait for you to figure it out. I couldn't tell
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. So it's down to Orlando and Denver then. I'll go Denver just because they are... I mean, they're out picks. It's really hard, but when your team is this good, you are incentivized more to maybe try to do something else. Something with, say, Christian Braun or Peyton Watson in it, I think would technically qualify for what we're talking about. They have an expiring contract with Ish Smith. They have another one with Jeff Green, although he's back playing, so that would probably be less likely. But there's at least a chance something happens here, right?
I suppose so. They're so deep, though, and they just don't have big holes on their team. I'll take Minnesota, actually, just due to the Russell situation and the fact that they've underperformed, and I think there's just going to be a pressure to do something.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, if it's like Russell for somebody else who is whatever. I guess it just seems
like retaining him, wanting to pay him again. Now, maybe it's kind of headed towards they bring him back on a 2-year deal for $25 million a season or something like that. That's just sort of a placeholder, keep the salary in there, and he'll can give them a little something because they can't really replace him, but he's not that good either. Just a continuing a marriage of convenience.
Yeah.
So that leaves the Orlando Magic for you.
I would watch out for them as a talent acquirer. They acquired Fultz at the deadline. They acquired Wendell Carter at the deadline. They acquired RJ Hampton at the deadline. I know Carter and Hampton were, you know, deals going the other way as well. But that would be more where I would keep an eye on them is as an acquirer. I don't think they'll do. I don't think they'll get a first for Gary Harris or Terrence Ross, and I don't think they'll be part of some huge blockbuster. But if there's like a young guy in another team that they kind of like that the other team's a little sour on, I could see them trying to wedge in there.
I don't know if you've heard that Mo Bamba is available.
Oh, really? Wow. Is John Collins available too?
Mo Bamba would not count, by the way, in and of himself. I mean, you mentioned them as a talent acquirer. They have a lot of guys that I think they just want to roll with here. So like, they are relatively deep in terms of just prospects that they already have on the roster. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure if Gary Harris or Bamba aggregating those guys together, maybe they would feel like they would want to just pick someone up now and possibly eat into their cap space for next year because if they feel like they can't use it. Yeah. I mean, there isn't a single team out there. I mean, I would have probably ranked, I guess Denver is probably my lowest team, but I think there are a lot of teams that really would like to do something here. It's just, again, this is more of a buyers than sellers market, or I'm sorry, a sellers than buyers market at this point in time. All right, I think we're good. That was fun. We should do this every year. I actually thought that was pretty illuminating. We'll see who ends up doing better.
I totally agree. And we can go back and do reviews and give ourselves grades.
Yeah. No. That's
what you're supposed to do, right? After the draft, you have the draft grades right away.
All right, well, we got two more episodes, or actually one more episode before the trade deadline. Holy crap. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll figure out what we're going to do next week, but I think possibly the assistant coaches might be a little involved. Just a little tease for next week. All right, thanks so much for being subscribers. If you are on the free podcast, please consider subscribing to Dunked on Prime. We're having our mock trade deadline episode coming up this weekend. There is a special sale for that as well. Obviously, you get John and my podcast, every single one of them, once a week. You get five more from me and Danny. You get Seth Partno's writing twice a week. You get Dan Feldman's writing 5 days a week, and access to our salary sheets, which are invaluable. We're going to be updating those throughout the trade deadline period, and also access to our Discord, which is a great community, really smart, interesting people in there. If you want to find a maybe more interesting and saner space to talk basketball than the usual Twitter conversation, it's a great place as well. So we hope you'll consider subscribing for our special mock trade deadline sale. We'll talk to you all again soon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.